Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Henry, and today, as always, you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today, I want to deal with the subject entitled The Order of Worship. The Order of Worship. The Order of Worship. I believe this is going to be a blessing to each and every one of you today as you listen to this particular broadcast. Today, this broadcast is going to be based upon a recent book that I have written called The Liturgy. The Liturgy. And as we deal with this, I'm going to talk about a few things. Hopefully, this will bless you. Hopefully, this will inspire you. Hopefully, this will encourage you. Hopefully, this will give you some insight to worship, the order of worship. Now, first of all, sometimes people, when they hear the word order, they think that this word is foreign to Christianity. They think this word is foreign to Pentecostalism. But whether you know it or not, there is an order to worship. There is an order to worship. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, let all things be done decently and in order. There is an order to worship. Say that with me. There is an order to worship. We are all called to praise God, but not everybody can worship God, because in order to worship him, you must do so in spirit and in truth. The word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so if you have breath in your body, and it says thing, so it's not just talking about humans. Everything that trees have breath, animals has breath, the fishes have breath. Are you hearing me? The birds in the sky has breath. So everything that has breath is commanded to praise God, but only they that can worship the Father, only humans can are able to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because worship entails an intimate relationship with the Creator. So as I said again, there is an order to worship. One of the words used for worship, and you probably heard me say this before, is the word liturgy. Liturgy is in the Bible, Strong 3008, liturgeo. It means minister. It's where they was worshiping. They was worshiping. They was praying in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And while they was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. So the word liturgy in the Greek literally means the work of the people. Better translated, public service or public work. The early church used this term to describe its worship service. And there were several keys to worship in the church. Is that the local congregation always had to have an openness to the Holy Spirit's activity, and all things were to be done decently and in order. God is a God of order, and he also commands us to allow the Holy Spirit to flow. And he says here, worship deals with ascribing worth and value to someone or something. Worship in Scripture is both ritualistic and freestyle, or free church type worship. So worship does not have to be a very detailed structured program for it to be qualified as worship. Worship, the worship service, the order worship can be free church type worship, where you come in, and as the book of Corinthians said, somebody have a prayer, somebody have a psalm, somebody have a teaching, somebody have this and that. But he said, no matter what we do in worship, he said, let it all be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. Now, it's unique because the Bible says this, but at the same time, you have to look in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms says something that we tend to say, we call it the highest praise. The Psalms, in the book of Psalms, it says the word in the King James, it uses the word, praise ye the Lord. That particular phrase is one word in the Hebrew. is pronounced either hallelujah or alleluia. And this word, hallelujah or alleluia, whichever way you want to say it, if you want to keep the H silent or you want to say the H, literally means halal yah or halal jah. Literally, praise yah or yah, Y-A-H, or praise jah, J-A-H, depends on which version of Hebrew you want to use. And this particular word, halal, is one of the seven or more Hebraic praise words. This particular word is unique because when David pens this word in the Psalms, and I took a whole brief chapter inside this particular book on liturgy to talk about it, is that this particular praise, literally, the psalmist is saying, it's not just, sometimes we make it like, we see folks, we say, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah, sister, as a greeting. But this particular word is more than a greeting. It is more than just something you say when you meet the saints. This particular word is literally a command. Literally, the psalmist is saying, you are commanded to do this. This is not an option. He says, literally, he says, praise is not an option. Could you say that with me if you're listening today? Praise is not an option. The psalmist declares when he said halal, yah, or halal, jah, he's literally saying you, because the word ye there is a plural you. It's like when we say y'all or you all. So literally the psalmist is saying you, all of you, praise the Lord. This is literally what is being said in this particular praise. The psalmist is literally saying, all of you, this is not, you don't have a choice in the matter. This is a command, and every one of you are commanded to praise ye the Lord. All of you are commanded. This is how we should praise him. And the word halal tells us how we should praise Yah. He says these words. The command tells us how to praise. But the word halal means to rave. It means to clamor foolishly for, to brag, to praise, to be a fanatic. You know how we have called somebody a fan when they are a fan of a football team. So literally, the psalmist is saying, be a fanatic for God. We are told to praise God like we are out of our mind. To clamor foolishly for. So in the midst of ordered worship, there should be a foolish praise. Can I say that one more time? Because that blessed me right there. In the midst of your ordered worship, there should be a foolish praise, a crazy praise, an uninhibited praise, an undignified praise, a praise that don't make any kind of sense, a praise that you go crazy, bragging on the goodness of God, a praise where you go crazy, bragging on the mercies of God. So when you look in the scripture tells us how important it is to praise God and how we should praise God. For the scripture literally says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. If you got breath in your body, then you are commanded to praise God. You are commanded to give God the glory. You are commanded to give him the honor. You are commanded to give him the glory. You are commanded to praise God, even when it don't make any sense, even when you don't understand what's going on in your life. You need to stop and take a inventory of your life and begin to praise God. Worship is important. Praise is important. For praise, this praise has taken many forms throughout the century. But no matter how which form we take, we are all commanded to praise God, to be fanatical in our praise. You know how people love to say, it don't take all of that. It doesn't take all of that. You ain't got to lift your hands. You ain't got to run around a church. You ain't got to speak in tongues. You ain't got to fall out. You ain't got to dance. You ain't got to shout. You ain't got to do none of that. But the Bible says, be fanatical with our praise. Same way, if you were at a football game, well, basketball game, your team was winning, you'll act like you are a fan of your team. You'll holler, you'll scream, you'll shout, you'll jump. And the Bible says God deserves even that.
and some more. Praise then, my brothers and sisters, is not quiet. Okay, can I say that one more time? Praise, my brothers and sisters, then, is not quiet. How can I brag on God when I don't even open my mouth? How can I brag on God when I'm not even showing any sign that I'm trying to praise him? Halal is not a quiet praise. This praise requires expression of one's praise to be vocal. This praise is demonstrative. It calls for everyone to participate in it. Let everyone that has breath praise ye the Lord. There are some traditions today that will argue against such a praise. Yet God in his wisdom through the psalmist declares that this is the type of praise that he desires from his people. So, and I put this in my book on page 10. It says, so according to Scripture, the Pentecostal expression is a mandated expression of praise. We are commanded to be foolish in our expression of praise. We are told to be loud and make a joyful noise unto our God. So let every one of you that has breath praise the Lord. That means within our order of worship, there should be space for us to be foolish for our God. There should be space for us to be demonstrative in our praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There should be a time in our praise that we should be able to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and brought us into this marvelous light. Glory to God. Blessed be his name, now and forever. And the church ought to say amen. It is something about praising God. It is something in this thing about praising God. Because, my brothers and sisters, praise can change the atmosphere. Can I say that again? Praise can change the atmosphere. There is a sound to worship. There is a smell to worship. There is a look to worship. Are you hearing me? There's a shape to worship. Praise and worship can change the atmosphere. Praise, excuse me, can take your mind off of what you're going through. Praise can take your mind off of your troubles. Praising God can take your mind off your situation and cause your mind to be focused on him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, according to the very power of God that works in us. So your praise becomes important. Your praise becomes mandated. God mandates that you worship him. He mandates that you praise him. Our praise and our worship should be engaging. People in the pew are not called to be passive worshipers or to be mere observers of those who worship at the altar. They have a duty as priests and kings unto their God to engage in the worship of Almighty God. For the scripture declares, not just the clergy, but all of us are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, called to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous and glorious light. So my brothers and sisters, all of us should be participating in worship, especially if you claim to have a relationship with God, then you ought to be participating in worship. Even if you don't have a relationship, the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, to the glory of God the Father. So everything is going to praise him. Everything. David tells us in the 100th Psalm that there is a flow to worship. There is a flow to worship. David tells us when he pens the 100th Psalm, there is a flow to worship. He says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. serve him with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise, being thankful unto him and blessing his holy name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. My brothers and sisters, there is a shape, there is an order to worship. David first tells us we don't have to be a professional singer to worship. David says we don't have to be professional singers, because sometimes people look at us and I understand you want to have people that can actually hold a good note in front of people when they lead worship, but we don't have to be professional singers to worship and praise our God. For David says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, because everybody can't sing good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some people meant just to only keep their voices in the shower or keep their voices mingled in with a bunch of other people. But Lord have mercy. We don't have to be perfect singers and professional singers to worship our God. For David declares in Psalms 100 that we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Make a happy noise. Make it a halal praise, a crazy praise, a praise that don't make any sense. When people tell you, you ain't got a voice to worship, worship anyway. When they tell you, you don't need to do this, do it anyway. Praise God anyway. I have determined in my mind that this year, God's going to get a praise out of me. I've determined in my mind when we make it to the 2015 COAF Congress that I'm going to give God the craziest halal praise I can ever give to him. Thank you, Jesus. Because what the devil has meant for bad, God is flipping the script, and he is turning it around and meaning it for the good. I thank you, Jesus, and I thank him today. Good God from Zion. Lord, bless his name. That's why he tells us to give him a joyful noise. Give him a happy noise. Give him a crazy noise. Give him an excited noise. Why? Whoa, glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Knowing that the Lord, come before us, knowing that the Lord, he is God. I don't know about you, but I know who's God. I know who is God in my life. I know who is Lord in my life. He has sustained me. He has kept me. As the old saints would say, he has kept me from all evil and kept my mind stayed on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And since he has kept me, and since he has never left me, I'm going to give him a praise that don't make any sense. I'm going to give God a praise that will change the atmosphere. I'm going to give God a praise that's going to shift things around me. Is there anybody listening to me that is willing to give God a praise that will shift the atmosphere? Is there anybody listening to me who is willing to give God a praise that will shift your situation? Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is there anybody that is listening to me right now who know that the Lord, he is God? It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, and we are still the sheep of his pasture. Is there anybody here that is willing to give God a praise that is worthy of his name? Is there anybody here, yeah, glory to God, who is willing to give God due unto him? People like to say, well, the Bible does not say when praises goes up, blessings come down. It may not have those particular words, but Jesus, whose name means deliverance, comes out of the tribe of Judah, and Judah means praise. Good God from Zion. And one thing about God is that God is consistent. And in the book of Genesis, Jacob tells, who is now called Israel, tells his son, tell them that when things are going certain ways, send you the first. Sing your praises first. God knew it because in the Bible, when Jehoshaphat was facing all of those five armies at the base of Mount Seir, he gathered the praise team together first. He had the choir go before the army, singing the praises of God. Praise you, the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I promise you, your praise will change the atmosphere. Your praise will shift things around you. Your praise will confuse the enemy. Your praise will bring deliverance because Jesus' name means deliverance. His name, Yahushua. His name means Joshua or deliverance. And he comes out of Judah, good God from Zion. And his name means praise. Pray, deliverance will come out of your praise. Are you hearing me, brothers and sisters? Your deliverance will come out of your praise. Your deliverance, your breakthrough will come out of the praise. Yishaba, Uba, Yitanamose, Robo Sikataba, Yishabahoy. Thank you. Hu mama mama isha ta 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 ba obo obo soto rama ikaba mohoya. Hey Shaba, thank you. Your deliverance will come out of your praise. Your breakthrough will come out of your praise. Your praise will shift the very atmosphere. Your praise will shift it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your praise will shift the atmosphere. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy flows from everlasting to everlasting. And his truth endures unto all generations. Praise God. Praise God. Let everything, are you hearing me? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to do like the Bible says. You got to take off the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. Yes, there are garments of worship. Yes, there are garments of praise. Yes, they are not always natural garments that we put on. Sometimes you have to remove the heaviness off of you, this bondage that people have put on you. You have to remove all of that off of you and let all that stuff go. Leave it down at the altar so that you can give God a praise that is worthy of his name. Sometimes you have to let what people say about you go. People will criticize you. They criticize Jesus. Lay it at the altar and put on the garment of praise. Put on that garment that says, I don't care what people are saying about me. I'm still going to throw my hands up. I'm still going to open my mouth. I'm still going to give God the glory. No matter what, when praise goes up, I'm going to praise him. I am going to praise him. I'm going to shift my atmosphere. I'm going to shift my surroundings. I'm going to give him what is worthy of his name. Thank you. Hayabasho. Puma Siti Urabasa. Hallelujah. There is a garment of praise. Remove the garment of heaviness. Remove the yoke of bondage off your life. Break that bondage. Break those chains that people are trying to put on you. And give God a praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him what is worthy of his name. Are you hearing me today? There is Haya, Iyabasha, Homa Satano Ramase Keteboho. Yes, God, there is De Aishoto Ramaseke, Hida Raboho Sata Ramo, Hido Ramase Teriosa. Yes, sir, De Yashoto Rama, Hikato Robohoya, Hida Riosata Ramaya, Hida Roboho Satarie. Yes, God, there is garments of worship, there is garments of praise. Don't let people steal your joy. Don't let people steal your praise. But remove the heaviness off your life. Remove the chains off your life. Do what the Bible said. Lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets you so you can run with patience the race that is set before you. Change your garments. Get God from Zion. Change your garments. Take off the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel you in my spirit. Change your garments. Change your garments. Change your garments. Don't just change the garments, but change the sound that is coming out of your mouth. Who? Because there is a sound of praise. There is a sound of worship. Good God from Zion. I got to talk about that another time, about those trumpets, when the trumpets blow, what the one trumpet mean, what the two trumpets mean, what the three trumpets mean, because one of them means to go to war, one of them means to go to praise and shout to victory. And that's what you got to do. You got to be just like David in the song, clap your hands, all you people, and begin to shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Shout like you got the victory. Shout like God is changing things on your behalf. Shout like victory today is yours. Believe it today. Stand on it today. Trust him today that you got the victory. No matter what it looked like, your worship will change your outlook. Your worship will change your outlook. Who am I talking to? Your worship will change your outlook. Oh, Lord. Your worship will change your outlook. Your worship, your praise will change your surroundings. It will change your shape. It will change your garments. It will change your the way you hear things, your worship. Your worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about through here today, but there is something I don't know if I should even bring it up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There's something in these last couple of minutes. I don't even know if I should bring it up, because it's not technically, it's not in the Bible per se, but it's a story. David is running from Saul. And I think it's based on the Targum. David is running from Saul. And David hides himself in a cave. And while he's hiding from Saul in a cave, a spider comes along and weaves a web across the door of the cave. Good God from Zion. And the spider weaves his web. The wind blows dust on the web. And the soldiers come. They look in. And they see the web. And they say he can't be hiding in the cave, because this web it has not been broken. And so David is afraid. He is scared. He's hiding from these soldiers. But when they came up, they avoided going in the cave where David at, because of the spider web that had been weaved over the front of the cave. His outlook may have looked bleak, but his in looked better. And sometimes you got to praise God. Despite how it look on the outside, God will hide you from your enemies. Who am I talking to? Your praise will cause you to be hidden from your enemies. Your worship will cause you to be hidden from your enemies. I got scripture for that. For God said he shall hide me in the secrets of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Are you hearing me today? Your praise will hide you. Your praise will protect you. Your praise will shield you from your enemies. For what the enemy may have meant for bad, God knows how to flip this thing around, and he can cause it to work for your good. He can cause it to work for my good. So, dear God, we thank you today for this particular broadcast. God, we thank you, God, for everyone who is listening to the sound of my voice. And, God, we pray today, God, that they will break forth in a praise that will chill their life, their praise that will shift their surroundings, a praise that will cause things to work in their favor, in the name of Jesus. And, dear God, we give you glory. Dear God, we give you honor. And, dear God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I am Bishop Thomas Henry, and you have been listening to
the apostolic voice. God bless you. You have a great day.